Ladies and gentlemen, we are Cahoots. This is RedExtra.ie in association with Red FM, and you're listening to...
Oh my God, it's Jadidude. Oh my God, it's Jadidude. Oh my God, it's Jadidude. Oh my God, it's Jadidude.
Much better, lads.
Way
well
better,
done.
Way better this time.
He liked it because he led it.
And you know what?
He's got showboat, no, right, hurt?
He's got no regrets about it.
Ooh, topical.
Oh, lovely.
Which
Dominique
segues us beautifully into the topic of the podcast, which... is regret.
Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention, gang.
What do you regret, Laura?
Now, no surprises here, guys. Nothing.
Laura, you're great for podcasts.
I'm an angel and a princess.
Now, I don't buy into regret. Because I think regret is...
Can I have a peanut while we talk?
Oh, please.
It hasn't stopped you hitherto before. I feel like regret is... regrets are a very, very negative thing to have, in my opinion. And I feel like that everything that's... everything... Why? I feel like...
She's like a useless hero in any story because, like, there's no regrets, right? There's no flaws. There's nowhere for her to go,
right? Nobody's
going
to write a book about me.
There's no R. No.
Oh, I tell you where I could go. Dancing with the Stars 2020.
Oh. 2020!
But what I say about regrets is that everything that's happened to me in my life up until this point has made me, not regret it, has made me who I am. So why would I regret things that have led me on the way to this perfect finished product?
Well...
Can you jump in, Tyke?
Oh,
jump
can in. You stop eating so loudly?
For once in my life, I agree with you 100%.
Yes.
I do agree with her 100% there. Now, there's things that I could have done differently, of course, but I suppose just to tweak what you've said, I'd have then full acceptance. I don't, you know, they don't keep me up at night, the things I do, because I have to accept. Go on. Are you but trying to jump in on my jump
well,
in?
Well, I'm jumping in on your jump.
You're like
in.
A nasty frog.
By definition, is a regret not you looking back and saying, oh, I should have done that differently?
But I agree with Tyke, not to gang up on you here, Dominic, but the acceptance is what's crucial there. Because I think regret is almost like a feeling of unfinished business or you shouldn't have done that. Do you know that
there... It's a subtle difference, Dom, I think.
Yeah, that I accept anything that happened in my past. So I'm not regretfully or wistfully looking back at it, wishing I could change it.
Well, you see, I accept, I have a regret and I can give you an example in a second. It's not that I accept that it happened as well.
Is he getting fairly cross?
I'm getting a bit saucy, I think.
Give him a chance.
Cheeky monkey. Cheeky donkey.
Give him a chance.
For example, right? A very high-profile theatre casting director in Ireland was making a trip to Cork and I was recommended...
It wasn't Peter Brook, was it?
It was The Empty Space. It was Peter Brook in The Empty Space.
Go on, Dom. Sorry, Dom.
So my name was put forward by somebody else that as somebody to be seen in Cork. So that was great. But the problem was I got a call about it the evening before. So I was going into...
And you were in no play.
I was in no place. Oh. So I had to go in and I had to audition for this person. Now, I was ill-prepared. First mistake was, as an actor, you should probably always have some manner of monologue or audition piece on
anyway,
the go.
Yeah.
So I went in there. I was unprepared. They were like, do you have a CV? I was like, no. Oh, okay. Disappointment in their eyes straight away. Do you have a piece to perform for us? Yes. So I ended up doing, I can't even remember what I ended up doing. I think I did something from Trainspotting fairly badly. And I ended up doing some other piece, neither of which were very well prepared. And I could just see it in their eyes going, well, this was a bit of a waste of time bringing this guy in.
Okay.
So that was about, I'd say that was maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I still think about that. And that is kind of sometimes...
But then you don't have acceptance on it, I would say.
Why?
I would jump in. Well, if you still think about it in a bothersome way... Like it's kind of like, or do you don't care about it?
Is it more that you were embarrassed by it rather than that you're regretful about it? Because do you wish that it would have altered the trajectory of your life?
Like no.
If that had been successful, you mightn't have been where you are now.
Potentially. What I regret is being so ill-prepared.
Yeah, no,
I accept what happened.
I get that.
But I'm using it as a way to prevent it from ever happening again. So I think it can actually be productive. But the regret doesn't go away. I wish that had gone differently. I wish I had done something else. That is what regret is, as far as
but
I'm concerned.
I do not have that sensation about anything.
About anything?
About anything. No,
that's
I genuinely
remarkable.
Don't. I don't think it is remarkable. No, I am remarkable,
this
as you all know.
This is a tense one, isn't it?
This
the last one was a laugh.
No, I'm going to tell you now, right? This is going to be a very sketchy bones of a story put together into a fully formed one, right?
Go on.
I was listening to a TED talk recently, which I don't make a habit of, but I was. And there was this, there's some language, I don't know what language it is, but they don't have a phrase for I should have. They don't have a phrase for like that shouldn't have. Like,
no normativity in the language. Interesting.
Exactly. So like there was a situation That's where there was somebody was meant to, so that there was a bus. There was two buses and somebody was meant to get on one bus and they got on the other bus. And the bus they were meant to get on, I think there was an explosion on that bus.
Jesus.
But, you know, the way there's this, it was about survivor's guilt. You know, the way people have survivor's guilt then that they survived, that, oh, I should have been on that bus, but I got on there, blah, blah. Because this language, whatever it is, I can't remember, doesn't actually have a word for those kind of regretful emotions of I should have, then that person didn't experience any regret because they didn't have the words for it.
Okay,
that was what was being put across on the TED Talk. Well, language was fascinating.
Absolutely plays a role in those kinds
of
feelings and emotions.
But I mean, okay, we'll stick with the buses, for example. Like, if you were standing on the footpath and you're about to cross the road and you step out, I don't know what relation he was to me. I think he was a great grandfather. He was actually killed by a bus.
Oh, God.
Yeah, in England. He was, like, he'd just been to the dog track or something or the horses and he'd won some money and he was all excited and he stepped out without looking. And he was hit by a bus and he died.
Oh, yeah. God, that's horrendous.
How do you, like, do you do your family history?
My mother is massively into family history. Right. So thanks to her, we know a lot about our family and their lives. Like, I have another great aunt or something. She died in an explosion in a gunpowder factory.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah, Sarah Kempton is her name. It was her birthday. Well, this is how the story went. It was in the paper. It was her birthday and somebody let her fill, because originally it was only the guys who were supposed to fill the shell cases with gunpowder. Somebody let her do it.
Okay.
She caused an explosion and it killed 12 people, including herself.
Oh, that's what you get for giving a woman a gun.
Now, apparently there was also a young lad walking around with a glue bucket that was on fire.
That was me, actually.
No, Tyke.
I was out all night. I was out all night. I was out all night.
Some people blame Tyke to this day for that. So
glue bucket hickey, he used to call me.
My great aunt Sarah Kempton might not have
sticky hickey
been the reason.
Very good. Very droll.
So can I not say then that my grandfather should have looked where he was going?
Well, you can, because we have the language for it.
Okay, but just because the word.
So what point are you actually making? What, like, in what way do you disagree what we're saying? I'm not actually quite clear on. I don't think there's a massive difference between what we're all saying, actually. Could you clarify what the difference is?
Like, you're not racked with regret. You acknowledge that there's things in your past.
I am, because I'm reliving it. I would say I've got, I can't remember them off the top of my head, but I'd say I've got maybe three things. I only went through this kind of a couple of weeks ago where I thought to myself, what do I actually regret? Like, what still bothers me? That audition was one of them.
You wish you would have done them differently.
Yes.
And that's the clear difference, actually. Because I'm just, for our listeners, it would be nice to just make that differentiation. So Laura and I do not wish that things had gone differently.
Correct.
Though we feel an aspect of regret for those things, but we don't wish that they happened differently because we fully accept that they were part of an overall package that brought us to where we are today.
Like, I sometimes would like to go back to when I was kind of like 16 and was in Irish college. I used to go to Knockadoon Irish College. And like, I was full of teenage angst. I thought I was constantly in Dawson's Creek. Like, I love this guy. No, I love this guy. No, this guy's my best friend. No, I love this guy, right?
But you had to go through all that stuff.
Exactly. Like, I can't go back because, like, it wouldn't be right to be a 16-year-old with my now 33-year-old knowledge. And like, I'd have totally let loose a 16 then and I'd been more aware of like fellas that fancied me there as opposed to being. But that's not right, because at 16, you need to have all those raw emotions. You need to have all those feelings. And like, I feel that's just what I feel. Like,
finish your regrets.
So, as I was saying, I don't really remember. Well, one of them was, for example, years and years and years ago, back when I was a young man in my very early 20s, I was going out with a girl who I wasn't particularly mad about, and
it wasn't my sister.
It was your sister. It was Tyke's sister.
You backstabbing
troll. I'm sorry.
Frog-like fenian. Go on.
It's only coming out now, Tyke. When it came to the time to have the discussion about the future of the relationship, shall we say, I kind of left the door open. If you know what I mean.
Oh, there was a draft and she got a cold.
She got a cold and she died and I was just a mess.
Can I jump in?
Oh, please.
So you know that you acted incorrectly there.
Yes.
If you didn't feel the pain of doing that, would you then have self-corrected as the years have went on? The man you are now is made. It's actually an accumulation of the things you did well and the things you did poorly.
Correct.
So to regret that is to actually regret a part of the self that we are presented with today, and a lovely self.
It's not that I don't see the value of making mistakes in the past, because you learn from them and you move on. But that doesn't change the fact that I still think about the past and what I could have done differently, which for me is regret. Mm. It's not saying I want to change my past, or I want to have a different past so that I am now going to have a different future. It's that I look at the past and I think, what could I have done differently? That is regret for me.
There are one or two instances, we'll say, of like we were talking about this in a previous podcast, about like sticking up for people that I didn't do. Like,
is this you making up confessions again, Laura?
No.
I'm sorry, I didn't help others when I had the chance.
Sorry, I didn't go to the shop. No, but there are friends that I have now that I still wish that I would have stuck up for them when we were younger, kind of going through the embattled teenage years.
I actually agree with that as well.
But however, I don't think, like, again, that's part of being 16, 17, 18, not knowing that this is the time where you need to speak
and
out.
You would be the type to stick up for someone now, and I would be too.
Yeah, and I think there were times where I did speak out then as well, but there was definitely, I can think of one girl that I know I should have stood up for her, and I did, but too late. Well, not too late in anything tragic. She's grand.
I know exactly what you mean. I agree with it. And I was just thinking, as you were saying that there, I could succinctly put my position on all this quite easily, I think. I had to make all the mistakes I made, I think, in order to ultimately stop making mistakes. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like I look back over the stuff I've done, and I cringe at some of the stuff that I've definitely done wrong, particularly in my 20s and whatnot. But I feel I had to make every single one of those mistakes for the accumulation to get to the point where I was just like, oh man, this is not a nice way to treat people at all. This has to stop.
Surely there has to be something in your past, though, where you think, had I not done that, my life would be better now.
No.
Putting the learning aside. Really, there's
I
nothing.
I don't think my
on
life
my
could
glorious
be better.
Father no. and mother's soul, I swear to God, I don't feel like that at all. I feel absolutely full acceptance about where my life is right now. Not where my finances are. I could do with 3 or 4 Renault Clios. I can only afford one at the moment. But
recession.
I have full spiritual and emotional acceptance where I am right now tonight in Red FM.
I remember my second regret for one of them.
Let's let this lovely young lady in first.
Laura.
Oh, I was going to say that it may seem like I'm just trying to keep with my, oh, nothing bothers me, nothing phases me thing. But I genuinely am the same. That I don't, like, I am completely content where I am now. And I don't think that anything that, like, I wouldn't, there's nothing I'd go back and change.
And I could jump in and say the difference, even though we appear to have the same position, the difference is Laura feels that she's a finished product, whereas I'm content where I am now, but I feel I have so much.
Laura's
so much
kind of infallible. Makes no mistakes.
No. I've loads more to do. I'm afraid of being a finished product then, because I have this other theory about, like, people that are, like, kind of finished product, that God plucks them. The good ones. And I'm afraid of getting plucked by being too, like that I'll be plucked because I'm too good. I'm too ready.
Basket case.
Don't pluck me, God. Don't pluck
the
me.
Sauce.
Don't you pluck me, by? Go on. Regret number 3, Dominic McHale.
Well, I've only given you 2 so far, haven't I? No, 3. That's quite right. I used to play American football. I played for the Cork Admirals between the ages of maybe 16 and 24. Show off. And
I played for the Bark Street Bears, so
you know, so
I played for the Carrigaline Critters.
I remember getting a pair of shoulder pads.
Critters TV.
And I'll go into a little bit of detail here.
I think there's a lot of people have had regrets about shoulder pads, Dominic, to be fair.
Shoulder pads.
Different kind of regret.
One, Dom.
Less 1980s regret. So the shoulder pads that I had were very, very big. And the position that I played required more flexibility of the shoulder. I was the wide receiver, so I needed to be able to catch the ball, move my arms, etc.
Isn't there just a tint of melancholy off all his
stories?
Well,
it's a tragic story. So what happened was I actually made an alteration to my own equipment. I removed a piece of padding from the shoulders. In a game against the Dublin Dragons, not the Barrack Street Bears.
Okay.
Dublin Dragons. We were playing them up in Lucan.
Against the Artane Boys band.
We were playing against 2/3 of the Artane Boys band.
Okay.
We were playing against the Dublin Dragons in Lucan. Beautiful sunny day. I was running down the field to make a tackle, which is not normally what I have to do because of my position. But I made a tackle and I dislocated my shoulder.
Ooh.
And it was the worst agony that I've ever felt. And I had to have surgery on it. And I went through years and years of what are called subluxations, where the head of the bone moves around in the joint.
Okay.
It's extremely painful. Had to have surgery on it. Very, very difficult. That I regret.
Okay.
Editing the shoulder pads.
Okay.
Well, there's no arguing with that one.
Well, you see, there we go.
Yeah, that's it. Well,
surely, like, you're not telling me, well, you know, if you hadn't dislocated your shoulder, maybe something worse would have happened to you. Or,
but Dom, there's people out there that are, you know, have serious, serious injuries for life. But what I'm saying to you is that I'd say a good portion of them have full acceptance about what
has
happened.
I agree.
And you don't have full acceptance.
What am I not accepting? I'm accepting that everything that happened.
I can see in your eyes, it still bothers you a little bit.
It bothers you.
I'm not saying it doesn't bother me, but what am I not accepting?
You're not
that it happened.
That it happened. That it was just part of your life's trajectory.
Lads.
I've just told
listeners,
you.
If you could see the range of faces.
This man is so angry now.
He's like Captain Planet after being let go.
You just told me that I'm not accepting that it happened. Yet I just told you the story of what happened.
I know, but I was in a head-on collision. I had two other, like, desperate car crashes. They weren't desperate, really. They were desperate because they were my fault.
She had a tip.
You know, I don't. I was in a head-on collision with joyriders.
Serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
But Shane was driving incredibly slowly. So the speed that they were going didn't really matter because we were going so slowly. And they were being chased by the guards. So the car went straight into us, but Shane turns it slightly to the left, which is actually pushing me into the line of fire. And maybe he regrets that. And the car rode up over us, and then the lads that were in the car tried to jump out, and the guards got them in a field, basically, and arrested them. But so Jesus, it was in a head-on collision, but it was just something that happened. But then I was in two crashes that I caused.
But did that incident cause you physical?
No.
But then there's no
cause for regret here.
No. But I'm saying sorry. The other two crashes that were definitely my fault that cost me a lot in insurance and stuff, like they were an unfortunate thing that happened in my past. But I wouldn't necessarily regret them.
So you wouldn't change the past if you could go back.
Well, it was formative. I'm a much better driver now as a result.
I wouldn't change anything.
I feel a bit sorry for the lady that I crashed into at one point, and she hopped out of the car, and I went sorry,
that
sir.
That was actually Tyke's sister.
Sorry,
that was my sister in bits coming home from a date with him, where she realised that he was letting her go.
I broke up with her, and
can I? And this is not a criticism; it's just an observation, and you can shoot me down. There's a little thread as well with your regrets. I've noticed
you're having a pop.
They are very Dominic McHale based. They're not like, I regret treating that person poorly. They're like, I regret doing this because it directly affected me and my opportunities to live my life fully going forward. That's just a comment.
Well,
my
number
God,
two,
the rage.
No, sorry, go there's on. No rage. Number two is not just a regret for me.
You have three.
No, but I'm talking about number two.
Oh, number
here,
two. Yeah.
Not breaking up with your sister properly. That was not just for my.
All right,
benefit.
Okay,
I'm
fair
thinking
enough.
About for her as well. Like,
fair enough.
She had to go through an unnecessary phase,
okay,
of wondering what the situation was. Where,
fair enough. Point
had
taken.
I been clear cut about it?
Point
yeah,
taken.
But I also I think as an like when you grow up like and look back on that, it's like boys and girls have been doing that for years. There's no that first couple of breakups. There's no way. Like, you're not a fully formed human being with those skills yet. You have to go through that kind of awkward, yeah, I leave the door open, it's hard to say no phase to get to the phase where you can actually call something quits properly.
On that topic, a phrase that always helps me in my life is, when you know better, do better. And I think back at a lot of boo-boos I made in my 20s, and I genuinely didn't know better. Like, I didn't go into it to treat somebody maliciously. It would be like a few years later or whatever, say now in relationship stuff, I think, oh my God, that was actually horrible. I can't believe that I would never do that now. Now, if I make that mistake and I already know better, that's a different matter then. That's self-flagellation time. Like, I've done wrong there.
I don't think you need to make a mistake in order to know better, though. Like, you know, I've never hit someone over the head with a hammer.
Tell that to a two-year-old falling all over the road, like, you know what I mean? Kids don't know what they're doing.
True, but I mean, there are certain things that I don't...
At what point do you get?
There are certain things I don't need to experience in order to learn how to do them better or not to do them.
I think the subtlety of a relationship when you're in your late teens and early 20s is quite different to assaulting somebody with a hammer, if you don't mind me.
Plus, well, not in my books.
But you don't know where your head was at the time as well. Like, as in, it is hard to cut somebody completely off that you've had a relationship with that you
Dom's
didn't want
head
to hurt
was in
her.
Atlantic Home Care anyway, was getting a range of hammers.
I was wondering whether I should go with like a geological one or simply a tack hammer. I don't know.
Big shout out to Atlantic Home Care there.
There are other home care providers.
Woody's.
Available.
Woody's.
It's gone. I think it's gone.
I think it's Woody's. Now it's Woody's.
It went the way of Liam Russell.
I think it's gone.
Oh, God.
And the mayor of Gdansk.
Eason, only
it's
one
just
of them.
Eason.
So regrets, we've had a few, but
well,
again,
it would appear that you guys don't have any regrets.
I
it's the stuff.
There's regretful behavior. There's regretful behavior, like as you're coming up, like not standing up for people and all that. As you're coming up along as a teenager or whatever, or like even in your early 20s, whatever. There are some regrets. Like for example, my college course, right? I did drama and theater studies. Would I pick it again? I probably wouldn't. But at the same time, I don't regret having done it. Do you know what I mean? Even though, like, it probably wouldn't be what I'd go for in the if I had my time over. I still don't see that as a regret.
Okay.
Mm.
Big shout out to everyone that did drama and theatre studies and all the lovely people that I met in it.
Mm.
I think I remember another regret.
Oh, Jesus, damn, you're wrapped.
Yeah, maybe I've got a lot. This is another quite
therapy.
Long, convoluted story.
These podcasts are therapy.
They really are. I remember being kind of a younger teenager at this point before American football and shoulders. Actually, it was the very beginning of American football, so probably about 16 years of age.
Michael Jackson fan?
Huge Jackson fan. Huge Jackson fan. We won't go there. I remember we were playing a game of American football on a green near my house at nighttime.
You wet your shoulder pad again, did you?
Well, you see, this was prior to my shoulder dislocation.
Yeah. I tried to soap the shoulder pad.
I actually have another one that'll go on to in a second. Anyway, go these on, two guys showed up, right? And they asked to join the game. We let them play. They were slightly older than us. Mm. They showed up the next day as well when we were playing soccer and they joined in again because they lived locally.
Great.
But they were maybe
how much older?
They were maybe in their mid-20s.
Oh,
and what age
weird.
16.
Oh,
that's
so
odd.
Exactly, but I didn't see anything change at the time. So one of the guys ended up in my house playing computer games with me. And we were playing the N64 and he was like, oh, I'd love to have one of these. You know, my housemate's gone and it's really boring at my place. So being the naive muggins I was like, well, you can just borrow my one. Like, I'm going away to Mayo for 2 weeks and I'm not bringing it with me. So you can borrow it if you want. He also expressed an interest in playing American football with the Cork Admirals. So I loaned him my helmet and my shoulder pad and my boots and my gloves, etc.
Oh, no.
Off to Mayo I went. Came back. He was still...
Tom, you're okay, love.
He was still around, so I went up to him and I asked him, like, oh, you know, can I get the N64 back off you? Because it's not mine, which was true. It was actually my sister's boyfriend. And he was like, oh, it's up in the house in Tipperary. I don't actually have it at the moment. And I left your American football gear with the American football club. So I was like, okay, fair enough. I'm actually not crying. I still have a piece of peanut in my throat.
Peanut as well,
so eventually... I got a call on... No, I eventually went down to him with a couple of friends and I was like, look, we really need the N64 back because it's my sister's boyfriend's and we're making all this stuff up, but like he's an unstable guy and I don't know what he's going to do if he finds out that you took it, etc. So one day, as I was coming home from the bus, I saw him walking ahead of me with a Vibes and Scribes bag and I was like, I called out his name and he kind of glanced over his shoulder and then started walking a bit more quickly. So I started walking more quickly after him and I was like, shouted his name again. He starts actually breaking into a light jog. So his house is maybe...
Breakdance.
His house is maybe only 200 metres away from the bus stop. So I eventually kind of jog after him and catch him up at his doorway where he opens up the Vibes and Scribes bag and he's like, oh yeah, I have your N64 here. I take it away with me. One of the control pads was different. The power cable was different and I think one of the games might have even been different. So what he had done, he had sold it and had to buy it back because he was afraid. I get a call on like New Year's Eve going from a guy in the American Football Club going, Dom, did you sell your helmet? I was like, no. He's like, well, because it's in the front window of Cash Converters right now.
Oh my God.
So I had to go in and I had to buy my helmet back from Cash Converters.
This is so devastating.
Oh,
the guy,
God, it's
nowhere,
very dark,
nowhere
isn't it?
To be found. I called to his house later on. His roommate was back and he was like, your man has disappeared. He owes me loads of money and half a corker after him.
Oh, right. He was just one of those fellas.
I regret my naivety there because it has made me a more cynical person and it has made me less trusting of others.
Well, what age were you,
Dom? Done it differently?
What age are you?
This is
16.
But you're naive at 16.
Isn't this this is the thing? Like, we would never regret that because we were like, that's the way we were. Like,
you're expecting your man self now to react in that situation. You're 16. At 16, I was simple.
I'm not admitting that there aren't mitigating factors back then, but all I'm saying is I would rather that event not have happened.
But
do you not
cherish,
think it's life-forming, no?
I would cherish the big heart that you had. Like, it was lovely that you were like, oh, give this guy a little thing. And it was him. It's him that did the wrong. So you could go, do you know what? It was nice of me to give him that.
The reason I regret it is because I have less of a big heart now.
Ah, but Dom, you don't really. You've a very big heart.
You can change that though.
Can I say one observation?
I shouldn't have given him the N64. Go on.
Well, I think a lot of your regrets are connected to being embarrassed or cringy or like that you did something that made you feel like vulnerable.
Or weak or stupid.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's, vulnerability, but, yeah. But that's like, that's just what you are at those different times in your life, I would suggest.
Whether we're right or wrong, you're better off being on our side of the fence for this one, I can see.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I agree. Well, it would appear that, like, I would say, and maybe I'm wrong here, but like, you guys probably aren't haunted by anything.
No. Like, no. Give you a very, very quick example. I did a Shakespearean audition one time for, like, you know, big enough, well, like, Irish standards, big enough anyway, and had the arrogance to go into it without learning off the monologue. Like, everyone has that. And I said to the director a couple of minutes into my attempt to remember, because I was in a weekend in London drinking like a lord and rocked up to the audition. I was half as through the second or third line. I was like, I actually don't know this at all. Would it be okay if I read it? And he went, go on. In other words, I gave him the whole pair.
Yeah,
now, for a while afterwards, I was like, do you know what? That was unprofessional if I put time over. But when I think back on that now, I laugh.
Yeah.
I don't go. I was like, what
but if you had your time over,
like,
if you had your time over again, would you have done it differently?
That's hard to say with the head of a 30 whatever year old man.
That's the question. That's what regret is. Would I have done something differently if I had the chance?
No.
You wouldn't have done it any differently.
No, because I had to make that and many more cock-ups
to be where you are today.
In order to, into some sort of...
Okay, well, I'll give you an example of my logic. I have never experimented with drugs.
Yeah.
And...
I have a gram of speed in my pocket if you want
to... Well, no, I'm actually okay. I don't think I need to have experimented with them to have the knowledge that I don't want to experiment with them or to be glad that I didn't do it.
Yeah, but that's different though.
But that's effectively what I'm saying.
But like... Everybody has their opinions formed in different ways. So your opinions about drugs were just always straight and narrow. You're not doing it, same as me. But like that's just one part strand of your brain that was quite advanced. And the rest part of your brains were like a bit all over the place about relationships, a bit all over the place about kindness and blah, blah, blah. So the rest are just all catching up. So that ultimately by the end of your life, you'll be like a load of balanced lines.
But like life is just the stories we tell ourselves, really.
Yeah.
Like, the story you're telling yourself in the case of the lad who was an opportunist, absolute basket case, hanging around with a young fella and stealing his stuff. Like,
to be honest, I'm actually still looking for him. Him and RoboCop. They're the big two.
Come on, guys,
Dominic's
where
most
are
wanted.
But
will I name and shame him?
Do ya?
I actually don't know his... what is it now?
It's not my sister.
No. It's Tyke's sister. Vlog a dog. No, his name is Mike.
Mike,
and
where are you,
Tipperary.
Mike?
Tipperary. I think
Tipperary,
he's from
Mike.
Cashel.
Oh, yeah, Cashel.
Yeah, Cashel Head.
Yeah.
You know him?
I know Mike from
you do not.
Tipperary, but he'd be my age, though.
Okay, well, I don't know how old this guy was.
Black hair?
No, it's kind of mousy blonde.
Nah, definitely
not him.
And this fella knows sound.
God's sake, what he's doing.
You could have started
he
with that.
He has an absolute belt of Nintendo 64.
Seriously. Christ almighty. I have another regret.
Oh, Dom.
No, well,
oh
my this God. This is more.
I regret this topic. This is Stodinson.
This is more another story about how I did something stupid and there was karma.
Rory stories kind of thing.
Rory
like?
Stories kind of thing.
Rory's Tories.
No.
Go on,
no. Myself and a chum.
I regret it until you got the peanuts.
Myself and a chum of mine were in a sports shop in Cork City Centre. There were two pairs.
Call him a chum.
There were two pairs of goalkeepers' gloves. By Adidas. Very, very.
The level of detail in the regret.
Well, I need to give you the detail. Very, very similar in appearance. One, €15. The other, 75.
I'll take the two of them for a grand.
Okay. My chum and I, we went over to the gloves. He tried on one pair. I tried on the other.
The glove fits
a quit.
Exactly. And, you know, as if by magic, somehow the 75 pair.
Sorry, if the glove doesn't fit.
Laura, would you let the young boy speak?
I'd say OJ Simpson has a few regrets.
As if. But
Jesus. Go on, Dom.
As if by magic, the €75 pair ended up in the €15 box and the €15 pair ended up in the €75
That's
box.
That's stealing.
It is. So we went to the counter and the person behind the counter didn't know any better, just scanned it in. €15, thanks very much for a €75 pair of goalkeeper's gloves. I'm not lying to you here. The first time I wore them, I go down in goal, cover up a ball with my hands. A guy kicks the ball at the same time. Fracture my knuckle, never wear them again.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
Were you bringing on that tragedy to yourself?
I think
racked
so.
With guilt,
I
like,
think so.
Yeah.
she should have known better, the one behind the counter. Like, there was probably people in Liam Russell's now and I undercharged them left, right and centre.
How do you know it was a Sheila?
You said it.
I didn't.
Oh.
But it was.
Interesting.
Yeah. I deliberately didn't say, I just said the person behind the counter.
Well, I'm a woman blamer.
Oh, women are holding women back.
We are. We're desperate. We're desperate to each other. Do you know what now? Like, that's not a regret, is it? Was that a life-forming moment?
I fractured my knuckle.
You have a cloud over you all the time,
do you? You wanted
that. Well, I just think there are certain things in my past that had I not done them, I don't think I'd be any worse off today.
But do you not think you're a great person?
I do, but I feel like if these things hadn't happened, I might be even better.
Oh no, that's regret about a self that never existed. That's what I think that is.
True, something could have happened to you anyway, like a truck.
I think you're lovely,
Dom. I'd love to get
to
know this guy. Well, thanks very much, Laura. But
I think you're a credit to yourself.
I think you're very hard on yourself. I think you're incredibly hard on yourself. I think your inner voice is unkind. My inner voice is sound.
Can I jump in? I think it's good to be hard on yourself, but there comes a point where you have to let stuff go. Mm-hmm. It sounds like on a micro level. Now, I'm not saying like you're not in bed for weeks on end or whatever. Like,
oh, no, I am.
Seriously. But like, it sounds like
every night
you haven't let some stuff go. So you can be hard. I'd like to think I'm quite hard on myself too. There comes a point there where you go, I'm a different person now. I'm not making those mistakes. I did some boo-boos in the past, whatever. And then I have to move on, because otherwise life is going to pass you by. If your head is a little bit in like, I should have like, stitched up the ball one night. And
I sometimes am hard on myself as a mother.
Like, sorry, that was glib. That was unfairly glib. Sorry.
I'd be hard on myself as a mom. I'd be like racked with guilt about stuff. At the moment now, my 4-year-old is mad to play. And my 1-year-old is at the stage where I have to keep an eye on him all the time, otherwise he's going to hurt himself. So then the 4-year-old is coming to me going, Mommy, you never play with me and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just destroyed by this. And then I'm spending time worrying and fretting about that. And then I'm like, oh my God, in years to come, am I going to look back on these years and be like, I spent all my time worrying about them instead of enjoying them? But like, then I just take myself in hand and go, get over yourself. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just get a grip. You have to get a grip on these things. Like, me and Shane are going away for 5 nights without the kids, and I literally am in the horrors over it. Would it not be better for me to just enjoy it and get over it?
You don't mind if I come along?
No problem, my darling.
Can I bring Tig's sister?
You can. The whole gang is more than welcome.
Her, she's cheeky bugger.
Oh. Ooh.
She mightn't forgive you. She might be wrecked with regret.
I know.
I certainly feel like,
well,
I'm a
I left
bad
the
mom.
Door still open. Do you?
I have to say, I think I'm a better dad.
Oh. I think that, okay, I haven't let them go, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I have accepted them in my books. They've happened, and that there's no possible way for me to change them. But by remembering them, I'm less likely to make the same mistakes again.
Oh, I think remembering them is kind of holding it over your head like a stick to beat you with.
You have you have a sound logic, but I don't think it's helping you.
So just forget them.
Yeah.
No,
or let
you,
them
you,
accept them.
You address them.
We
you
get
make
back to this
peace
issue
with them, and you move on.
Okay.
And you only say sorry once, both to yourself and to others. Okay. Say sorry once.
When I was small,
you're
I used to
saying sorry constantly.
When I was small, I used to have loads of little worries, weird worries, like my mom used to call them scruples. And Mom taught me this trick. She was like, you imagine a river and you imagine all your little worries inside in the river. And instead of taking them out and examining each one individually, you just let them flow past you in the river. And that is my life's motto there. Is so any little thing like that, off it flows, off it goes away. I don't take it out to examine it.
Well, I fear that perhaps in this podcast I may have misrepresented how racked I am by these things. I'm really not. Like, there are things that I regret, but ultimately I would say that I follow quite a stoic philosophy of, I divide the world into two sections, things I can control and things I can't. Because this strategy provides you with a way to remove worry altogether. If you can control it, go and do something about it. There's no point in worrying. If you can't, there's no point in worrying either, because there's nothing you can do about it. So that's the way that I live my life now. I'm not sure where regret fits into that philosophy, but I certainly don't necessarily want to rid myself of these feelings either, because I do think they serve a purpose.
Okay. Well, there's no tidy solution to any of this stuff. We're just
talking.
Well,
that's what I'm looking for.
But stuff just tends to emerge, I think, especially when we listen back to these stuff emerges. And I only speak for myself. I'm like, all right, do I feel that way about it? I didn't quite know that.
Yeah, because even...
has emerged a bit now.
Even there, when you're saying what your approach to life is, I actually don't think I could tell you what my approach to life is. I wouldn't have like
but you're a princess.
But you're an angel and a princess, Laura.
I don't need approach to life. People carry around me in a carriage.
Other people can approach your life, are you?